Okay, we're going to start here on the last line of Yutet Amud Bet. Towards the end of the line, it says, Tanu Rabanan, Amakdish Nikeva, Lo Oloto, Ula Pisco, Ula Shamo, Oset Mura. Person who is Makdish Nikeva for an Ola, again, an Ola only comes as Zecharim, Pesach also only comes as Zecharim, and an Hashem, which also only comes as Zecharim. So he's Makdish, an animal that otherwise is not appropriate for this Korban. Oset Mura, the animal, or this kedusha, has the ability to create tmura. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo lato oset tmura, the pischo ula shamo ain oset tmura. When it comes to the ola, you're able to create tmura, but when it comes to the pesach and the asham, you cannot create tmura. She'ein lecha davar oset tmura, el haro'eh lehistarev. The only thing that can create, or has the kedusha, or the ability to create tmura, is something that will go out and graze. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon believes, by the Asham of the Pesach, since the Shem Asham, the Shem Pesach, is not Chal Aleihem when it comes to Nekeva, because they are sold without a Mum. Remember, that's Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah. Hilkach lo avin Tmura. Therefore, they do not have Tmura. Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah said about Amafrish Nekeva the Asham, then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Timacher Shalom Bemum. You sell without a Mum. So it doesn't have this requirement of Yir'eh Ad Sh'yista'ev, that it goes out to graze until it gets a mum in it, and it hasn't attained a high enough kedusha to demand that you have a mum in it before you sell it. Which is what we discussed yesterday, is that Rabbi Shimon believes that it can never attain kedushat haguf, something on which kedushat haguf is not chal, never attains kedushat haguf. Again, we explained yesterday, kedushat haguf doesn't mean it's ro'i to go on the mizbeach. Kedushat haguf means that the kedusha, the maximum amount of kedusha is chal on this animal. In our instance, where it's a balmum because it's a nekeva, the maximum amount of kedusha would require it to be redeemed after it gets a mum, not simply sold out right away. So Rabbi Shimon says, by an asham and by a pesach, that's true. By a ola, that's not true, meaning that an ola can create tmura. It does attain kedusha taguf by a nekeva. Again, we have the machlokas that we've had all the way along, which is Rashi will say the reason that ola has this, or attains this kedusha taguf, is because within the category of Ola, you do have a female Ola, which is Ola Ta'of, and therefore it can attain a certain level of Kedushat Aguf because of that. Tosafot discusses the fact that they contain Kedushat Aguf because Ola stays the same, meaning that it doesn't change its name, as opposed to a Pesach and Asham, which are not used for a Pesach or Asham, they become a different Korban. Pesach becomes a Shlamim, and Asham becomes an Ola. An Ola that's not used as an Ola becomes an Ola. So that's why Tosafot says it can attain the Kedushat Aguf, whereas Rashi says it contains the Kedushat Aguf because of this idea that within its category there is a female, and that is the Ola Ta'of. So that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, why Ola would be distinguished from Pesach and Hashem. Now, Amar Rabbi, Ein ani ro'ed varav shel Rabbi Shimon bePesach. I don't agree with Rabbi Shimon with regards to Pesach. Ho, umotar Pesach karev shlamim. Because a leftover Pesach becomes a Shlamim. And therefore, it does attain a certain amount of Kedushat Aguf. According to Rashi, that means that there is Nekeva within Shlamim. So if a Motar Pesach is a Shlamim, that means that Nekeva is relevant to the category of Pesach, because Pesach is just a subset of Shlamim. If that's the case, you do have Nekeva in Pesach or Shlamim as well. According to Tosafot, it means that a Pesach originally is a Shlamim. A Pesach is just a unique type of Shlamim. It's a subset of the Shlamim, and therefore when you bring it as a Shlamim later, you was a Shlamim originally. So either way, the Motar of Pesach should not have that distinguishing character to be like the Asham, it should be more like the Ola. V'leima, ein ani ro'ed v'rav shel Shimon v'asham. Why don't you say the same thing by Asham for Rabbi? Ho'el motar Asham karev Ola. Because the leftover Asham is brought as an Ola. Where it says, Rabbi savarla ki rabbonon. Damrei mochrot l'nedivat tzibur azli ve'in tmura b'tzibur. Ein ochanami that Rabbi would disagree with Hashem as well, but he doesn't need to argue over here because by Hashem it's not even relevant. Here we're talking about the issue or the din of tmura. Tmura is only relevant by korbanot ha'yachid. The leftover Hashem, the motor Hashem, we have a machloket about what happens to a motor Hashem. Does motor Hashem go l'nidvat yachid? Does it go for a korban yachid? We're going to see it in a Mishnah later today. Or does it go to the nidvat tzibur? Is it used by the tzibur? Rabbi holds like the Rabbanan that a leftover Hashem goes in nidvat tzibur, so there's no tmura anyway. So he doesn't need to argue within the category of Hashem because it's not even relevant. The halacha is not even relevant. Now, what does it mean? Oh, motar Hashem karev ola. So Rashi again says v'ishtakach tahach nekeva the Hashem olahi. So therefore, since the Hashem is really an ola, and by ola we know nekeva works to get kedushat haguf, so it should also work over here. According to the Rabbanan, if the motar Hashem is an ola all the way along, that means from the beginning it's an ola, and therefore it should be classified as ola. It's not as strong a question because that's really the distinguishing character of Hashem versus Pesach or Ola. Ola, for sure, it's an Ola from the beginning, it's category as a female. And by Pesach, if you say that a Pesach is a Shlamim from the start, then you can come up with that. But to say an Hashem is an Ola from the start is not really true. An Hashem is an Hashem that turns into an Ola. Maybe when you put it as an Nekeva, you can argue that it is an Ola from the beginning, but that isn't as strong an argument as you have by the Shlamim or by the Ola. Nevertheless, it's not even an issue because Rabbi doesn't think it's an issue here because the din of Tumura is not going to apply by Hashem. Okay, now, Kasaka Datko. We thought, Hainu time of the Rabbi Shimon, Gabi Mafrishni Kevalo Luto. We thought this is the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's position that when you're Mafrishni Keva for Ola, Mishum Alchio said Tumura, Daika Shem Ola Ale. Okay, because they have the Shem Ola in it, Gabe Ola Tov. Elomiato, if that's the case, Bikoin gadol, shiafrish para le paro, tigdosh, daika parat chatat. Because you have parat chatat. Right, so let's understand the havamina. The havamina here is that Rabbi Shimon's position by Ola is governed by the fact that, according to Rashi again, that within its category there is such a female, and therefore when you're mafrish a female, it takes on kedushat haguf. On the other hand, according to Tosafot, it means that within this category of karbanot, you do have females like, for instance, if a ani brings korban mitzorah, brings a olev yorei, there are manifestations of nekeva within the category, and not necessarily because of olata of, but because we find in certain instances where the Ola can be brought as an Olata Of in place of the regular Ola. So over here, if I extrapolate that to other cases, let's take the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim. Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim is supposed to bring a par. That's called Par Aron. It's a par shel Yom HaKippurim. That par, what happens if he brings or he's Makdish a parah instead? A female. Can that work? It says, okay, let's say it works because we have Parat Chatat. Parah Duma. Parah Duma is a female. So within its category of Chatat, we do find a female. It says that's Kochei Bedek Abayit or Kochei Bedek Abayit or Abdei Tumura. That's not relevant. This is Kochei Bedek Abayit. It's low carved on Mizbeach. It doesn't end up on Mizbeach. Hachi Karilei Bedek Abayit. It doesn't necessarily have to be literally Bedek Abayit. The fact that it's not put on the Mizbeach is enough to say to us that it's not relevant for the category. In the Ashamish, he wasn't interested because the outcome was not relevant. I mean that if you made an Asham a female, then it won't make a Tmura because that's a din in Tzibur. Because the leftover Asham will go to the Tzibur. Over here we're talking about a para, that Aaron's par, which is a Korban Yachid. He just was Mafrisha para for his own Korban Yachid. That para is not going to turn into a Korban Tzibur. It remains a Korban Yachid. That's the distinguishing factor. Tosafot asks over here, why did they bring an example from the Parat Chatat? Why don't they bring any other Chatat? All the Chatot come as a Nekeva. I want to suggest maybe that the reason that the Gemara brought it here is because the Par of Aron and the Parat Chatat have some common denominator between them, which is that they're both have to be brought by a specific Kohen. The Par Aron is brought by the Kohen Gadol. The Parat Chatat has to be brought by the Skan Kohen. And then the Mishnah Yoma tells us there's an equation between them. That just like the Kohen Gadol before Yom Purim has to separate out 7 days, so too for the Kohen that's going to do the Parat Duma has to separate out 7 days. It's a unique Korban that's associated with a particular Kohen that goes through a process. And that's maybe why the Gemara equated the Par of Aron to the Parat Chatat, something that's unique to a specific type of Kohen that went through a certain process.
Yochid Shifish Seir Lusirato. An individual who is Mafrish Seir, a goat, for his Korban Chatat, instead of a Seira that he's supposed to bring for a Korban Chatat. Tigosh should become Kadosh Deika Seir Nasi. Because then within the category of Chatat, we do have a Seir, which is the Nasi, the Melech brings a Korban Chatat that is a Seir. Inami, the other way around. Nasi, Shifrish, Seira. And Nasi, instead of bringing a Seir, is Mafrish a Seira, which is the Korban, the Chatat of Yachid, the Seiro, Tigosh, it should become Kadosh. The Yachid, Mafrish, Seira. So over there, a Yachid is also Mafrish, Seira. This question with regards to the Seir, the Seira, we have both In chatat, we have a manifestation of a se'ir by the nasi, se'irah by the korban chatat of the yachid. So either one that gets switched should be able to attain kedushat haguf, because we have a relevant korban like that within the category. And where it says, trei gufei ninu, talking about two different individuals. These individuals can never reach the same korban. That is, as long as you're a yachid, you'll never bring a korban nasi. As long as you're a nasi, you're never going to bring a korban yachid. There's no overlap between the individuals over here. The individuals are independent entities, and they will never cross paths. As long as he's a nasi, he will not be a yachid. As long as he's a yachid, he will not be a nasi.
But you can't say that
Ashtir and Ami? Yes, so that's what Rashi says. Gemara's going to say it as well. Aval, ola nekeva, b'hai gufo mishkachla, dibai mafkir nechsei. He can be mafkir all of his possessions, v'avei ani, and become an ani, v'chazi le ola tov. And he can have ola tov. So yes, you can have that manifestation in the same individual, can be an ani ve'ashir, which is not true about an asi and a yachid, that he cannot be at that moment, that he's an asi, he can't be a yachid, and the moment he's a yachid, he cannot be an asi. So now the Gemara is going to deal with the overlap, your question, which is, chata, ad shelo nitmane, before he's appointed to be an asi, ki mafrish se'ir l'sirato tigdosh. So your question, a little bit along the lines of your question, Joel, which is, what happens to that period of overlap? He was chote before he became the nasi. Then he became the nasi, and he's mafrish se'ir instead of a se'irah. Now he was chayav a se'irah because it was happened when he was a yachid. But now he is a nasi. So for him, se'ir is relevant at this time. But we have the se'irah that he's supposed to bring. So therefore, maybe the se'ir should be tikdosh. Da'il chata hashto. If you sin now, baritu se'irhu. He would bring a se'ir at this moment. It says, lo chata, lo yichayav a se'ir. If he doesn't sin, he'll never be chayav in a se'ir. He has to sin now in order to have that obligation of se'ir. The sin that he did before, the chet that he did before, is relevant to se'irah. Se'ir is not relevant to him at all unless he sins now while he is in a nasi. So since he hasn't sinned, se'ir is not relevant to him. It says, in our case of olah, he's not bringing an olah tov. He's not an ani right now. He's not, olah tov is not relevant to him right now. What's relevant to him right now is olah behema. So why should Olat Tov have any bearing on him if he is not bringing Olat Tov? So Rabbi Shimon Savalak, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Shimon holds like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Ditznan, we had this at the end of Nachot, Tarei Alai Olah, person who says, I'm going to bring a voluntary offering of an Olah, Yavi Kevis. The core or default status of an Olah is a Kevis. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Omer Otor or Ben Yonah, that the default status is a bird. What is the default Olah? When I say Olah without any modifier, what does that mean? So the Tanakhama says it means a kevis. Default olah in the Torah is a kevis, which is the base olah that we find throughout the Torah, olah behema. The olah tov is just in additional scenarios where he's too poor, where the socioeconomic demand is there. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says that's not the case. The default olah is a bird, no matter what you are. We find olah tov as a fine olah, and then for a person who says olah, that's what he means. That's what he's thinking of. You could bring it, but there's no demand on you to bring it. When you say olah, olah means the default, the lowest in form of Allah, the lowest form of Allah is an Olah Tov. That means that you have the right, even as an Ashir, when you say that I'm going to bring an Olah Tendava, I'm going to bring a voluntary offering of an Olah, you can bring a bird. It's not just relevant to the Ani. It's relevant even to the Ashir. So now, if the Ashir brings a Behema now, then it's fine, because he could have brought an Oaf. He had the ability to bring an Oaf. An Oaf was an option for him. The fact that an Oaf was an option for him right now, that means Nekeva, the category of Nekeva, is relevant to him. Even though he's bringing a Behema, he could have brought a Nekevat Oaf. It was his choice. He brought Behema instead. So he is within the Parsha of Nekeva, and he isn't within the Parsha of Olat Oaf. It's not Atam. We have a Mishnah. A Makdish Nechasav. Person is Makdish all of his possessions. Vayabahem Behema Ruya Legabi Mizbeach. Amongst his possessions, he has animals that will go on his back. Now, when he's Makdish Nechasav, the assumption is that he's giving all of his possessions to Hekdesh, giving the money to Berek Abayit. Amongst those possessions, he has animals that are roi the Mizbech. Zicharim v'nekevot, males and females. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Zimacharim yimachru l'tzorchei olot. The males you will sell for olot, I mean, you'll sell them to people who need olot. Unekevot yimachru l'tzorchei shlamim. And the females you'll sell to people who need shlamim. Udmehem, and the proceeds from those sales, iplum shar nechasim leperek abayit. they would go with the remainder of his possessions to Berak HaBayit. So the animals, since they are ru'uim the Mizbeach, they must be utilized for the Mizbeach. But he himself would not bring them on the Mizbeach, someone else will bring them on the Mizbeach, and the proceeds he gets from selling to those people who want them for the Mizbeach, he will give to Berak HaBayit, which is his original intent. Hamakdish Nechasav is to give his possessions to Ekdesh. Bishul Omer, Zecharim Atzman Yikarvu Olot, the Zecharim themselves will be put as Olot on the Mizbeach, because they're ru'uim the Mizbeach, Unikevot, Imachru l'tzorchei shlamim, the nekevot will be sold for shlamim, ve'aviv b'dmehem olot, and then they will bring with their monies or the proceeds olot. V'shar nechasim, you pull the Berak HaBayit, everything else will go to the Berak HaBayit. Why can't you bring the nekevot and shlamim straight up? Why do you bring the zecharim as olot directly, but the shlamim cannot bring the nekevot and shlamim, you have to sell them and use the proceeds for olot? Because here he's makdish nechasav. He wants to give all of his possessions to Berak HaBayit. So you can only use or utilize dusha that is entirely or complete. That is true by olot. Olot go entirely to Hashem. So if you're makdish nechasav, then he means either to Berak HaBayit or to Hashem through an olah. But by shlamim, if you bring it as a shlamim, it's not kulo Hashem. Portion of it goes to the Kohen, portion of it goes to the Balim. That's not kulo Hashem. That's not accomplished. What he seems to be set out to do here is to give it all to Hashem. So what he does is he sells it to parties that can use it as a shlamim, and the proceeds you bring olot with. So you will bring it as a complete gift to Hashem. Because he doesn't think any of them goes on the Mizbeach. He thinks that he was Magdish the Berak HaBayit, therefore everything goes to the Berak HaBayit. Stam Hekdeshot that he's making here is the Berak HaBayit, therefore we're going to create that everything goes to Berak HaBayit. So even the animals that are really the Mizbeach, we sold to people to use the Mizbeach, but the proceeds will go to Berak HaBayit. His makdish nechasav is clearly part of it for Berak HaBayit. The question is, these animals that are really the Mizbeach, what's their status? When they say makdish, do I mean Berak HaBayit, or do I mean Mizbeach?
Generally, when you have an animal that is really good, not good.
Right, but over here, there's a context in which it's done. It's all of his possessions. It's clear that all his possessions are not going on the Mizbeach. He says that it's really the Mizbeach, it's going to Mizbeach. That has the same effect. He wants to give a kul Hashem. How does he give a kul Hashem? You can either have it in an olah, or you can have kul Hashem as Berak HaBayit. One of those two is the kul Hashem. Alright, so Amalei Rabbi Chir Ba'av the Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yoshua, the Mar Zecharim Atzman Yikarvu Olot, that the Zecharim themselves end up as Olot, V'nekevot, Heicha Mikarvan Shlamim. How are the Nekevot themselves brought to Shlamim? Ha Mikoach Kedusha Dechuya Ka'atian. They come from Dushad Dechuya. What's the relevance of these as korbanot anymore? They were really supposed to be olot, but because they're nekevot, they are being pushed out from being korbanot. How can they actually be brought on Mizbeach at all? Or Lishna Achrina. Rashi terms Lishna Achrina in many places as Lishon Yushalmi, which is interesting. So I'm going to read Rabbi Yochanan. Midi Ga'amar Rabbi Yeshua Zecharim HaMetzmam Yikarvu Olot. The fact that Rabbi Yeshua says that the Zecharim HaMetzmam end up as olot, lememra. The kedushat aguf akdeshinu. They attain a kedushat aguf. Iachi nekevot. Amai yimachru l'tzorchei shlamim. Why are the nekevot sold to shlamim? Bayiriya. They have to go out and graze and wait for a mum. We just saw before that kedushat aguf by inappropriate animals. What's the demand on that? Even Rabbi Elazar says that by an olad that you're makdish nekeva, you have to wait until it gets a mum before you sell it because it attains kedushat aguf. So if you're ever saying over here that if there's Kedushat HaGuf by the Olah, then there's Kedushat HaGuf by the Nekeva as well, for an Olah. And how could you go sell it off to be a Shlamim when you really need to wait for a Mum in order to redeem it? Samalei Rabbi Yeshua, Savalaki Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Komide de lo chazile de gufe, lo naftale Kedushat HaGuf. That anything that is not ra'uy for accepting Kedushat HaGuf in itself, then Kedushat HaGuf has no impact on it. I mean, we don't say that it gains the most possible Kedushah. Kedushat HaGuf is not relevant at all. It's not. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Timacher Shalom B'mum. Our Mishnah by Hashem, which says that Rabbi Shimon says that you sell it without a mum. Kevin delo chazi and nekeva l'Hashem, lo nachle Kedushat HaGuf. So since there is no nekeva by Hashem, therefore there is no Kedushat HaGuf whatsoever. What's the question you should ask right away? We just said in Rabbi Shimon that there's a distinction between Olah and Hashem. We said even Rabbi Shimon agrees by Olah that it works, that there is Kedushat HaGuf. So here you're quoting Rabbi Shimon to support the position of Rabbi Yeshua from the quote here in our Mishnah by Hashem. We just said that Rabbi Shimon says by an Olah that it can create Murah, that there is Kedushat HaGuf. That's what Gemara says. Imodam Rabbi Shimon gabi nekeval de Hashem. That's by an Hashem. To like Hashem Hashem alimo. Aval gabi nekeval de Olah dika Hashem Olah alimo. That its mother has a shame ola on it. Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees. Though
Hashmina le Rabbi Shimon le'olota dose tmura. In addition to that, and that's what we saw in the beginning, that's the question comes from, that Rabbi Shimon says, not only is it nachta kedusha deguf, but it's enough of kedusha deguf that it creates an ola, that you can have a tmurat ola over here. Amarle, Rabbi Shua, savarle ki idach tano, dalibed Rabbi Shimon. He holds like the other tano in the explanation of Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon, af oloto eino se tmura. Even his ola does not make a tmura. Even an ola does not attain kedushat haguf. There's no kedusha dukhuyak, so that's why he has it off to be a shlamim. Because Yeshua doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon and our Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, the way we explain Rabbi Shimon that, Rabbi Shimon says his din by Hashem or by Pesach, but not by Olah. He holds like the other of Rabbi Shimon that says that even an Olah does not attain kedusha haguf. Because we have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Aflo Tayin, so Chumura. Even the Olah does not attain Murah, meaning that there is no kedusha haguf even by an Olah. Alright, next Mishnah. Tmurat Hashem. You deal with the Tmura ben Hashem. Vlad, Tmurata. If you have the offspring of that Tmura, or then Vlad, Vlada, or a grandchild, the second derivative of that Tmura, Ad Sof Kol Olam, Iruach Yistavu, Vimachru, Vipalu, Damav Linidava. Then you allow it to go out in grace, it gets a moment, you sell it, and then you bring the, with the proceeds, a nidava and ola. We quoted this Mishnah earlier in the Gemara, back on Yudchet. You should be recognized, you should be familiar. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yamutu. It puts konsinoto le kippah, it goes to death. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yavi bedameha olot. Bring with its proceeds olot. Sham shemetu ba'alav. Hashem that's owner's passed away, shekipru ba'alav, or head kapara. Yiru achistavubi machubi bludamablin dava. Then it goes out to graze, and the proceeds are used to purchase a nidava and ola. Again, Rabbi Lezer Omer Yamutu. They go to death. Rabbi Elazar Omer Yaviva Dame Ola. To bring with its proceeds an ola. Now it's Tzvi's question. How af nidava olahi? Isn't when you say you're going to bring it as a nidava, you're going to bring it as an ola as well. What's the difference between the Tanakam or the Chachamim that say nidava? And Rabbi Elazar that says you bring it as an olah. Ma ben divrei Rabbi Elazar the divrei chachamim ela. Bizman shi ba olah. If it comes as an chuvat olah or an olat yachid, sumech aleha, idu smicha, umevi nisachim. And it comes with nisachim, unisachaya mishalo, and you have to pay for nisachim. It's a private olah. Private olah you do smicha on, and you have to bring or provide the nisachim for that olah. Imaya kohen, if he's a kohen and he brings it, avodata, bora shalo. It belongs to him. Kohen is allowed to bring up private korbanot whenever he wants and get the benefit of those private korbanot. He gets the skins, he gets whatever comes out of that avodah, do the avodah himself. Buzmanchi nidava, if it's a nidava, it falls to the tzibor, nidva tzibor as an olah. Enu somechala, there's no smicha on it because it's a korban tzibor. Korban tzibor doesn't have smicha except for the two exceptions of Parilam Davish Sibor and Seir Amishtaleach. Beinu mevi alei nisachim. You don't bring nisachim. Unisachem mishel tzibor. The tzibor provides nisachim. V'avu bishu kohen. Even if he's a kohen of Odav Oram shel anshei mishmar. Belong to anshei mishmar. It's a korban tzibor. Korban tzibor belongs to the mishmarot. And you as a private kohen can't come in and usurp that avodah or take the benefits of that avodah. You only get that when it's a korban yachid. It belongs to the tzibor. It's different. So to answer your question, the difference is between Olat Tzibur and Olat Yachid. Rabbi Elazar says that it's a Olat Yachid. The Tanakam, the Chachamim, believe that it goes to the coffers of the Olat Tzibur. And then when it goes on the Ketz Mizbeach, whenever the Mizbeach is Batel, when they need extra Korbanot Olot, they bring that from the Tzibur, those Olot, to the Tzibur. So the difference is what type of Olat it becomes. Does it become Olat Yachid or an Olat Tzibur? V'tzricha. We need both cases in our Mishnah. The Mishnah has two cases. It has the case of Tmurat Hashem, and has the case of Hashem Shemetu Balav, Shekibru Balav. He's explained the Sefer first, which is the Yishmeinu and Hashem. If he just talks about the Hashem Shekibru Balav, or the Hashem that Metu Balav, huh? Over there, Bahakam, is there Mutu, because Gazal Acha Kapara to Lifnei Kapara. He goes there for after Kapara, for because of before Kapara. Aval Gabei Tmurat Hashem, by the exchange of Hashem, Vlad Murata, Imamodululu Rabbanan. Maybe over there you'll agree with the Rabbanan. I'll explain it in 1 second. Vyashmina and Hatam Bahakamri Rabbanan, but Gabi Hashem, Modi Layla Rabbi Elazar Tzricha. We need both of them over here. So now, the reason that we have to have the machloket here between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim in both bovas of our Mishnah is because if we just speak about someone that got kapara already, we know that that's only true after the kapara. After the kapara, if you have two hashamot, the person was mafrish and another hasham, and he was kapara with. Or,
obviously prior to that fact that the Balim die from the Asham is an Asham. And if you take that Asham and try to bring it as Olah, it doesn't work. It'll fail. It's a problematic Korban. It's not a real Korban. And therefore, I say even after Kapara, even after he used one of them for Kapara, or even after the Balim die, I'm not going to allow you to put this on the Mizbeach as an Olah, because you might confuse that with a situation before he brought the Asham. Before he's nitkaper with the Hashem. If you confuse that decision before he was nitkaper with the Hashem, you're going to run into big problems. Because then you're going to bring an Hashem as an Olah, which it can't be. It needs the kapara to happen already for the Hashem in order to be doche, the Hashem to become an Olah. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Elazar over there says Yamutu, because he's afraid of that circumstance. By Tumrat Hashem, you're not going to have that. We know right away which one's the real Hashem, which one's not the real Hashem. The original Hashem is the real one. The Tumrat Hashem is clearly a derivative, or the Vlad Tumrat Hashem is a derivative. So we know which one is the real Hashem, we know which one is going to go the Olah, from the start. In the case where you have two Hashemot in front of you, and you have to decide which one you're going to put on the Mizbeach, over there it's not clear which one's the Hashem and which one's the Olah. And therefore, over there, since before Kapara, you have a problem, because either one of them is Ra'ui to be the Hashem, so even after Kapara, where we know which one is the Hashem now, which one's the Olah, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar goes there, Yamutu, so we don't get that confusion before the Kapara. Right? Tumrat Hashem, you don't have that problem. Tumrat Hashem, it's clear which one's the Hashem, which one's the Olah. The Hashem is the Hashem, and the Tumrat Hashem is what goes on at the Bizbech, as an Olah. Since you don't have that confusion of before Kapara, after Kapara, it's not relevant in that case, he would agree to the Rabbanan's position. Or, the other way around, if the Rabbanan said this din by the Tumrat Hashem, maybe they would not say it by two Hashemot. Maybe they would agree to Rabbi Elazar's position by two Hashemot, and therefore we bring that down to show you they even disagree in that case. So Rabbi Elazar brings Yamutu in all cases, and the Chachamim think that it Yireachi Stevi Plu Damav L'Nitava in both cases. That's one way to explain it. Rashi brings a Yushalmi afterwards to explain it. He says, "Bahai kamar Rabbi Elazar tamut hi vevladotea mishum da'ati lechlufe." Elazar says that you might have a confusion over here. Since there's a tmura there, you might come and confuse the two. You have an Hashem, and you have a tmurat Hashem. And you might confuse them. And if you confuse them, you have a problem. The tmurat Hashem is supposed to be an Olah, and the Hashem itself is supposed to be an Hashem. If you confuse them, you have two korbanot that are wrong. The Olah, you're making into Hashem, which is no good, and the Hashem, you make into Olah, which is no good. In the case where it's kapru ba'leah, where the Balim come and they bring two Hashemot, it doesn't matter which one you make the Hashem and which one you make the Olah. Over there, it's irrelevant which one you make into the Hashem, which one you make the Olah. Therefore, maybe Rabbi Elazar will say by Tumrat Hashem, Yumotu, because of that possibility of confusion. But by Shnei Hashemot, he will not say that because the confusion is not relevant over there. Doesn't matter over there because they're both Hashemot. They're both full-fledged Hashemot. And therefore, he can be Mitchaper, whichever one he wants, he can use as the Kapara. Our Gemara says Elazar was more like to say Yamutu by Shtei Hashemot because of Achar Kapara Atul Lifnei Kapara. According to Yishalmi that Rashi's quoting over here, more likely in the first case to say Yamutu because you might confuse the Tumrat Hashem with the Hashem and that would lead to a devastation. Versus in the second case where the two Hashemot that you wouldn't confuse it. Which one would be more obvious that Elazar would say Yamutu? Our Bav explained it as the more obvious case is two Hashemot case. According to Yishalmi, the more obvious case of Yamutu is the case of Tumrat Hashem and Hashem. Then obviously the Rabbanan would take the opposite position, and we would say maybe they would agree to Rabbi Elazar in the other position, and that's why we have a tzrich over here. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Machloket Lachar Kapara. The Machloket only exists after Kapara. Aval Lifnei Kapara, but before Kapara, Divrei HaKol, Hu Atzmo Yikrev Hashem. Everybody agrees that it goes on as an Hashem. Amar Rav, Shtei Shuvot Badavar, Chado, Dein Adam Mitkaper B'Davar Abba Be'Evira. Number one, you're not allowed to compare with something as it comes through an Aveira, which is here, you did a Tumrat Hashem. Tumrat Hashem is an Aveira of Lo Yachlifenu V'Lo Yamir Oto. So how could you bring that as a Korban? It's a Vlad. It's a Tumrat Hashem he created in a Keva, and then the Keva has a Vlad that is a Zachar. So that Zachar, you would think you could bring as an Hashem. We had that. The Gemara had that Havamina before as well. You could bring that as an Hashem. The Gemara had that Havamina. The Gemara rejected the Havamina, but the Gemara had such a Havamina. Both Rashi and Tosafot ask over here, but by Tumrat Olah, Tumrat Shlamim, they do go on the Mizbeach. So how come over here we're saying it's a mitzvah about Beveira you can't put on the Mizbeach? Why over there do we not say the same thing? So both of them answer, Olah is not brought the Kapara. Shlamim is not brought the Kapara. Mitzvah about Beveira is only a problem in the face of Kapara. In the face of a Daron and a Dava, over there we don't worry as much about the concept of mitzvah haba be'avira. Vote, Hatani Rabbi Hanania, the Suyuya, the Rabbi Shua ben Levi. We said that this supports Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Damar, Vlad Rishon Karev, Vlad Sheni Eni Karev. We already said that we think that the halacha is that only Vlad Rishon goes on the Mizbeach. But everybody agrees by Vlad Sheni that it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. So over here you don't have Vlad Rishon, Vlad Sheni, but you have Tumrat Hashem, which is first derivative Kedusha, Vlad, which is second derivative Kedusha. And the principle established by Bishuv and Levi is that only the first derivative goes on the Mizbeach, even according to the Chachamim. Even the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer's position back in the Mishnah that second derivative Kedusha does not go on the Mizbeach anymore. So therefore, even only first derivative Kedusha goes on the Mizbeach. So over here, there's no reason that you would say it goes on the Mizbeach as an Hasham, because you're dealing with second derivative Kedusha. Tumrat Hasham goes to a Nekeva. Vlad is second derivative. I have two reasons why you're wrong here. The number one is, the mitzvah baba Aveira, you can't bring this Hasham because it came through an Aveira. Number two is because of the fact that it's second derivative Kedusha. El Yitmar, Achi Yitmar. You want to make the statement like this. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Machloket Kodem Kapara. Before Kapara, there's a Machloket. Avala Achar Kapara, Hu Atzmo Karei Vala. Their Machloket only exists before Kapara. Before Kapara, we have the animal standing in front of us, and now we have a problem because we're afraid you're going to use this Vlad Tmurat Hasham as an Hasham. It's a male, it's chazal akrava, you're gonna put on Mizbeach as an Hasham, so we're worried about that. So how do we solve that problem? Rabbi Eliezer says we solve that problem by saying Yimotu. It goes out, it's put to death. That way we don't have any questions about it. Chachamim say it's enough that it's Yirat Shistei. The fact that you have to put it out to graze is enough of an indication to us that it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. But the Achor Kapara, after the Kapara is gone, where there is no possibility of confusion with this Vlad Tmurat Hasham, that it could be the Hasham itself, since there is no confusion in that case, over there we're gonna say, chazal akrava, put on the Mizbeach as an Olah. Everybody will agree to that.
Vatani Rabbi Chanani Lusiul Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Wait a minute. Didn't we bring this as a proof that second derivative Kedusha does not end up on the Mizbeach at all? So that's Kasho. That'll be a problem. Because over here you have second derivative Kedusha, and you're saying that you can go on the Mizbeach. Alright, by Mine Rabbi Avin Barakhiya me Rabbi Avin Barkana. He frish nekevala Hasham, viz mafrish nekevat vin Hasham. Bina maushi krav leola. Its offspring, can it be brought as an Ola? It says, "V'tishu le'mi de Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina." Why don't we answer that up from the Rabbi Yosi b'Chanina? Damar mode Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Elazar agrees, even in this case, Amafrish nekevel Hasham, that its child, it is not brought on the Mizbech as an Ola. So he says, "Lo shmile." He didn't hear that. He hadn't heard that he was mode in that case. Right. So what's the din? Amalei, but not krav Ola. What's the din here? The din is that the child goes on as an Ola. Hamai. Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Elazar ela mafrish nekeva leola. He only says his din when you're mafrish nekeva leola deika shem ola limo, because the mother has a shem ola. Aval gabi Hasham deleka shem ola limo. Afilo Rabbi Elazar modeh. So he says Amar le taimud Rabbi Elazar la mishum de shem ola limo. You're wrong. You got this wrong. The reason for Rabbi Elazar is not because of the mother. Ela mishum de chazil akrova. His din. This was a havamina we had in Rabbi Elazar before, and the Gemara rejected this. Now the Gemara is bringing this down. He's saying, oh, maybe this is the din. Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold that the issue is shem ola limo, the mother's status. The issue is whether this animal is roi l'akrava. The mother is not, because it's nekeva. The son is a zachar. It is roi l'akrava. V'hanami chazi l'akrava. This is roi l'akrava. Rabbi says, okay, if that's the case, what about our Mishnah? Eitve v'ladan, uvlad v'ladan, atzov kol ha'olam. Yavi b'dmehem ola. You bring with their proceeds in ola, v'ayar tumrat Hasham in our Mishnah. B'dmeyamin atzmo lo. Here you don't put the animal itself on the mizbeach. It says hachag ma'askinan pinol she'aldan nekeva. She kept birth to the kevot. It was females all the way along. Rebbe says ad sof olam lo yid lechad zachar. He says until the rest of the time. The Mishnah says ad sof olam. So this great family only has females. Every female animal only gives birth to other females. He says malay mishanina shnuya dechika bavlay gon she'aldan nekevot sof olam. Yes. The Babylonians give these strange explanations. It's funny, Rabbi Yehuda Gershom quotes another famous line about the Bavlai Tipshai. They try to thread an elephant through the eye of a needle or through the point of the needle. It is, it's a crazy setup, but they're going to set up this crazy situation in order to have Rabbi Elazar's opinion be that Chazil HaKrava works, and therefore you can bring anything that's Chazil HaKrava. Not like what we concluded, that Rabbi Elazar believes that when it's an Hasham, the din is different. Hasham is different because of Shem Ola Alimo versus Shem Hasham Alimo. So since we made that distinction, over here, these Bavliim want to say no. The Rabbi Elazar's whole opinion is about Chazil HaKrava. If it's Roi LaKrava, it goes on the Mizbeach. What about our Mishnah? And our Mishnah will be a case where the Tumrat Hasham Zinikeva, that female gave birth to another female, and a female to a female Ad Sof Kol Olam. That difficult setup in order to work with this Shita of the Bavel that Rabbi Elazar believed
then anything that was Chazi L'Akrova will go on the Mizbeach. So we have to set up our mission, a case where you never reach the point where anything is Chazi L'Akrova. Everything's female, not male, and that's why you can't put any of them on the Mizbeach. All right, so we'll stop over here.